For a short while this afternoon, we're going to study a passage of Scripture from the 11th chapter of Acts, beginning with verse 19 and going through verse 30. And we're going to learn the importance of this first Jewish church that was established at Antioch. And there's quite a lot of things that we can learn from this, a lot of things that I didn't know about. We're going to talk about this first church that was established, this Gentile church that was established in Antioch. In the first century, the city of Antioch was a very thriving community hub located in a northwest trade passage in what was then in the ancient world part of Syria. It prospered and eventually became the third largest city in the world with a population of more than 500,000 people. Founded in about 300 B.C., Antioch became a city that had some 18 different ethnic races and ethnic groups that were constantly at odds with each other. Social integration was very difficult. There was a lot of riots. There was a lot of problems between these 18 different groups, ethnic groups, Greek and Roman and Syrian and Jewish, all of these many different people together that couldn't get along. As souls were saved, a church was planted there, and the church in Antioch was the first Gentile church that was established in the area, and it was established by Jewish believers who had migrated from Jerusalem after the day of Pentecost. They were there on the day of Pentecost, they learned about the gospel, and then they migrated to this area in Antioch to escape the persecutions that people were having, Christians were having, in Jerusalem, and it became a very pivotal spot where the rest of the gospel was spread over the world, many of them headquartered in Jerusalem. A new church began when the people in this area responded to the gospel. They turned to Christ, and this was a good place for a church to be because this was a city that was known for its vice and its corruption. It was a very sinful city. Let's see what we can learn about this church in Antioch. We'll start with the 19th verse of Acts, and we will go through this 11th chapter, concluding on the 30th, because there's something that we can learn from each one of these verses. Verse 19, Luke, in his writing, says that now that those who were scattered after the persecution that arose over Stephen traveled as far away as Phoenicia, to Cyprus, to Antioch, preaching the word to the Jews only. So again, we talked about this. These were Jews that were there at the day of Pentecost. They understood, they believed, and then they went back to other areas because of the persecution in Jerusalem, and many of the people, and there was a specific group that went back that he'll tell us in a minute, went to this area around Antioch, and from this, the church in Antioch was built. At the time of this writing, the Jewish church, the mother church in Jerusalem, had begun to accept and confirm the actions of the Apostle Peter in the last two chapters in Acts about Cornelius, which was the first Gentile that was allowed into the church. And they began to realize and accept the fact that Gentiles were now part of the saved, that God had changed his mind about the Jews being the only one. And it allowed the Gentiles, in the same way the Jews received salvation, could become part of the church. And now Luke continues in this chapter, and he begins to tell how the religion and the church was spread into the Gentile areas. And of course, this included Antioch that became a hub of religion. In verse 20, it said, "But some of these were men from Cyprus and Cyrene, who, when they had come to Antioch, spoke to the Hellenists, preaching the Lord Jesus." Now, Luke begins now to tell us how these Gentile churches were established in the Gentile areas of the world. And he said it was started by Greek or Hellenistic Jews. And he said that they came from Cyprus and Cyrene. And from these groups of men, they went back to Antioch and began to teach the new religion, and the city became a staging ground, finally a springboard, I guess you could say, to other parts of the Roman Empire. It would eventually begin to serve as the second headquarters for the area churches, and even the Apostle Paul set up his home base here in Antioch. The region today is no longer in the same country as was in the time of the ancient Antioch. The Bible says that it was in Syria at that time. But at this time today, it is located in the same spot, but this is now the southeastern corner of Turkey. And the city is no longer called Antioch, but it is called Antakya. And it is still the largest city in the area. It's about 300 miles north of Jerusalem. It's about 20 miles inland from the Mediterranean Sea. So the city still exists, but it's now in Turkey, and it's no longer called Antioch. Now it says that these men that went into Antioch and began to spread the news, some were from the Antioch area, and some were from Cyprus, and some were from Cyrene. Cyprus is an island in the eastern Mediterranean. Cyprus is not far away from Antioch, the city. Cyrene is in northern Africa, and it's a long ways away, and it's in what is now known today as Libya. Jews from Libya, of Cyrene, and Cyprus, if you will look at the names, you will recognize these men, because they were mentioned back a couple of items in the 6th chapter of Acts when we spoke about the stoning and the death of Stephen. It was these men from Cyrene and Cyprus that were offended by the words that Stephen said and called and executed Stephen by stoning. The Bible tells us that, or history tells us, that these group of Jews were from a group called the Freedman Synagogue. These were a group of Jews that were in Rome, and they were slaves to the Romans. And the Romans got all of them they wanted, and they wanted them rid of. They sent them back to Jerusalem, and they gave them their freedom. So they're a very specific group of people. They referred to themselves as a freedman synagogue. And these are the ones that listened to Stephen and got so angry with Stephen, probably because they didn't want people to know really who they were and where they were, because they did not want to go back to Rome in slavery. And they stoned Stephen for the words that he said. I don't know what caused these people to go back to Antioch and begin to preach, but they were convicted of their gospel and they became members of the church and believers. And when they left Jerusalem, they went to Antioch and they began to teach. There's a very, very important point here that we need to understand, and I never knew it until I began to study this. The important note is that the apostles were not the one that established the church in Antioch. It wasn't the apostles that established. Now, we don't want to take away from the work of Peter and Paul and Philip, which was not an apostle, but was a teacher that established. We don't want to take away from these men, but these were not the men that established the church in Antioch. This church was established from men, the teachers, just regular people from Jerusalem that migrated to Antioch, took their beliefs with them and the knowledge that they had of Christianity, and began to establish churches in Antioch. They were probably leaders in the church at this time, but they are nameless. They are unknown to us, and they were the ones that established this church in Antioch. And the Bible tells us that this church was growing and growing fast. But it was not started by the apostle. It was started by layman teachers. 21st verse said that the hand of the Lord was with them, and a great number believed. And this number turned to the Lord and professed Christianity and professed the teachings of Christ. So, the Bible tells us that these unnamed Christians, in their teaching and their ability to teach and to convert, that they reaped the harvest that God provided, because Luke says that the Lord's hand was with them as they preached. And then the Spirit of God validated their testimony and said, as a result, a great number of people believed and were turned to the Lord. So when Luke opens this narrative in the 11th chapter of Acts, he's all writing about a church that's already established. He's writing about a church that is already flourishing, because the church in Antioch was already proving to be very strong and valuable in the kingdom. He portrays it as a church where the mission to the Gentiles and the opportunities to the Gentiles and the church, first church of the Gentiles, was established in the city of Antioch by the freedmen, members of the freedmen synagogue, laymen, that went to Antioch and began to teach the gospel, and it was growing and growing fast. In verse 22, it said that the news of these things came to the ear of the church in Jerusalem, and they sent out Barnabas to go as far as Antioch. So the apostles got together in Jerusalem, which was the mother church, and the apostles picked and sent Barnabas to Antioch. So it didn't take long for these people in Jerusalem to hear about what was going on in Antioch and to realize the growth of this church, and of course as the mother church, and as the home of the 12, the apostles, it was to their best interest to know exactly what was going on in Antioch. So they dispatched the delegation, and Barnabas they sent to Antioch to find out just exactly what was happening. There were some issues still between the Jews and the Gentiles that had not been worked out. Possibly this was part of it, but I think probably most of it is they wanted to know what doctrine and what theology these men were teaching in this community, and they wanted to be sure that it was within the doctrine and the authority of the teachings of the apostles. They chose Barnabas, a Jew from Cyprus, which was in this area. Luke had said that he was a man of outstanding reputation. He was a man of piety. He was a man of generosity among the believers in Jerusalem. And that he was one that was respectful of apostolic leadership. In other words, he understood what the apostles were teaching and their doctrine. And he was respectful of this and wanted it to be done and to continue. So when the apostles chose Barnabas to send him into Antioch, they had confidence, they trusted him, they believed in him. They thought, this is the man that can go into Antioch. He can survey and make an analysis of the church and the doctrine and things they've been taught, and then report back to us whether it be good or bad. And Barnabas was absolutely the right choice, because Antioch would soon become a mission-sponsoring church. Even the Apostle Paul and Barnabas would use this as a home base of operations in the future. So Barnabas is sent to Antioch, find out what's happening there, report back to us in Jerusalem as a mother church so that we can be assured that what is being taught is right. Verse 23, when he came and had seen the grace of God, Barnabas was glad. He encouraged them all with purpose of heart that they should continue with the Lord, for he was a good man, full of the Holy Spirit and of faith, and a great many people were added to the Lord. Nickname of Barnabas was Son of Encouragement. And when he went into Antioch to analyze this church and the doctrine and the theology they were teaching, he lived up to this, and as he evaluated the gospel and the teachings in Antioch, he said that he liked it. He said what the grace of God has done, he encouraged them and was glad at what he had found. Many Gentiles had accepted in Antioch. These people were believing, and they were seeing the words of the teachers that was teaching them about the gospel, and they were converted, and they believed. Their lives were changed. There was a gifts of the Spirit was evident. And when he watched and saw and what was going on in Antioch, he was very happy and very pleased with what he found. And his statement to them was, continue and remain true to the Lord. Barnabas was able to see what was happening, that the hand of God worked in Antioch, and this good man, this man full of spirit and faith, as Luke had termed him, was very satisfied with what had been done in this Gentile church in the city of Antioch. And he reported back to the mother church in Jerusalem that all is well. All is well. These people are doing exactly what they should be doing, and it is within the teachings of the apostles. Verse 25, then Barnabas departed for Tarsus to seek Paul, or Saul of Tarsus. There's been very, very little said about Paul and about his whereabouts since he had left Caesarea for his hometown of Tarsus. In Acts 9:30, after the conversion of Saul, we know he went into Damascus and he taught in Damascus in that area for some time. Then they sent him back to his home city of Tarsus, the apostles did, so that he could go there and teach. He went back and taught his gospels in the land of Syria and in Cilicia, as he had taught in Damascus. But there's about 10 blank years here, commentators tell us, nearly a decade, that the Jerusalem group, the apostles, really had very little to do with the Apostle Paul. Apostle Paul did send his reports back. They were pleased with his efforts. But he was more or less in a, he was on his own here for about a decade. During the stay that Barnabas had with the Apostle Paul in Taurus, he found that he had found a man that he could actually depend on to take back with him to Antioch so that they together could work and be successful to create this and to successfully to grow this church in Antioch. Barnabas was convinced that Paul would be the perfect charge to help evangelize Antioch. He had been the patron that went and stood before the apostles, this is in Acts 9 and 27, that said this was Saul, he was an enemy, this is now Paul, and he is one of us. So once again, Barnabas finds Paul in Taurus, and he brings him back to Antioch that he might again be an advocate, and they might work together in this city to complete and to continue to grow this church in Antioch. Verse 26, and when he found him, he brought him to Antioch. So it was, for a whole year they assembled with the church and taught a great many people, and the disciples were called Christians first in Antioch. He went to Taurus. He looked for Paul. He found him. He brought Paul back to Antioch, and together they taught these large groups of people for a year's time. This was a very successful ministry that Barnabas and Paul continued and built upon from these Jewish lay preachers that had established the church. During this time of church expansion, when the Apostle Paul and Barnabas were working, the outsiders began to refer to this group of believers as Christians. And this was the first time they had been referred to as Christians. And it was simply a way of the outsiders that they used to verbally identify the followers of Christ. Now, Christian was not a term that the apostles used. They used words such as brethren and disciples and saints. But the name Christian was first coined by outsiders to indicate that the people in Antioch realized that this is, even though a form of Judaism, it is an outreach of Judaism. And they recognized this outreach as Christians. Never realized this either until I began to study. Rome had to recognize and accept the religions. They recognized Judaism as a religion. Now this group of Christians, they felt came out of Judaism, but they became Christians from Judaism. And they were able to fall in within this umbrella of Roman authority. And Christianity was recognized as an outgrowth of Judaism. We all believe in the Bible. We believe in the Old Testament. We believe that the Old Testament was of God. We believe it was written by the prophets. And we believe that it was written to the people to instruct them how to live. We believe in the Old Testament today, even as the people in the Old Testament believed in the Old Testament in the day of Moses. There is also a moral code that is given in the Old Testament that is brought forth into the New Testament. So there is a very similar moral code, and there's also the belief in both the Old and the New. Now there's a difference. We today realize that the law of Christ superseded the law of Moses. We realize that the old law was fulfilled and now has no power to save. We realize that the new law has replaced it. The difference is that we believe in Christ as the promised Messiah and as the new author of salvation. But the Jewish law followed Moses' teaching, and it was their law. We follow the teachings of Christ today, and we believe upon Christ and the New Testament. But still, there are some similarities. We talk about the Judeo-Christian ethic. This is still used today. We hear this, the Judeo-Christian way of doing things. So even though it was an outgrowth of Judaism, it was under the umbrella that Rome accepted as a religion in the Roman Empire. Verse 27. And in these days, prophets came from Jerusalem to Antioch. So again, prophets are listed. There were prophets in the Old Testament. There were prophets in the New Testament. The church was built upon the foundations of the apostles and of the prophets. And the prophets were able to speak the authority of God. They spoke of the coming of the Messiah. They also had the ability to foretell the future. So it said that prophets came from Jerusalem and went to Antioch to help in the spreading and the growth of this new church. Verse 28. Then one of them, named Agabus, stood up and showed by the Spirit that there was going to be a great famine throughout the world, which also happened, Paul records, in the days of Claudius Caesar. Agabus was a prophet. He was one that had the ability to tell the future, and he was sent to this church that he might tell these people in this church the things that were going to happen. And he prophesied through the Spirit that there would be a very severe famine that would spread over the entire Roman world, which at that time was the entire world. Luke wants his readers to understand that the prediction of Agabus is not a hoax, that he is real, that he is inspired, and that the words that he is teaching are words of truth and are important things for the church here in Antioch to understand, as in all of the churches throughout the region. Agabus didn't tell them when the famine would occur, but Luke said that it would happen within the reign of the Emperor Claudius, and Claudius ruled from A.D. 41 through A.D. 54. So Agabus says there's going to be a famine, a very severe famine. It will be over the entire land, over the entire world, to prepare these people for the famine that was to come. World history confirms that this famine did in fact happen. Verse 29, then the disciples, each according to his ability, determined to send relief to the brethren dwelling in Judea. Now this is remarkable. This is a remarkable statement. Because just a short few months or years earlier, maybe 10 years when Paul was in his out teaching the gospel, just a few years prior to this, Gentiles were still being thought of as being less human than Jews, and they were not given the same thoughts. Jews were the elite group, and the Gentiles were the dogs. And now here, just a few years after this, we find Gentile members in the church in Antioch contributing of their money and goods into a fund that would be collected and taken into Judea for the help and the aid of the Jewish Christians in the mother church in Jerusalem. It wasn't much longer than that the Apostle Paul organized another collection for the churches in Judea, advising the Greeks that you should set aside a sum of money in keeping with your income. And they did that. And it was taken to the churches that needed help. And we continue to follow that practice today. We still give of our means as the Lord has given unto us, so that we will have that money if and when we need it to take care of the saints. The new congregation in Antioch, composed of Gentiles and the first Gentile church in the world, who a short time were considered as questionable subjects for the gospel, respond generously to the appeal for help in Judea, because the Jerusalem church has found themselves in a very ill-prepared situation of famine that has strained them to the breaking point. So the Gentiles and the Hellenistic Jews in Antioch, to prove their love and their faith and their unity to the church, took donations and sent it with Paul and Barnabas to the mother church in Jerusalem, sharing their material possessions with those that were at this time less fortunate. I think that's a very important, remarkable point that we need to realize. Verse 30, in conclusion, this they also did, and sent it to the elders by the hands of Barnabas and Saul. Once these funds were collected, Barnabas and Paul carry it, and I want you to understand this, get this in verse 30, they picked this money up and carried it to the elders in the mother church in Jerusalem. This is the first time we see the word elders, as it is mentioned as one that was to disperse the funds. Remember, when this fund was set up, it was set up by members of the seven, of which Stephen was one. Pick seven good, faithful men out of your congregation and let them disperse to the Greek widows in the congregation. Let them be the ones that handle this. Paul and Barnabas now take money from Antioch, they carry it back to Jerusalem, and they give it to the elders. What can we learn from these verses that we have discovered in Acts 11? Number one, Antioch was the first Gentile church in the world. It was established not by the apostles, but it was established by believers that were there on the day of Pentecost, that were converted on the day of Pentecost, and because of the persecution of the Christians in Jerusalem, had taken leave, and they had gone to Antioch, but they took their work and their beliefs and their doctrines with them, and they established these unnamed, unknown preachers, they established this very remarkable church in the city of Antioch. Barnabas was sent, and Paul accompanied him later, and they authenticated the teachings and the beliefs and the doctrines as being scriptural and as being the work of God in Antioch. They were called Christians first in Antioch, all over the world. This was the first place, this Jewish congregation in Antioch, called Christians as a group of believers following Christ. They organized a contribution. These Greek Jews and these Gentiles, primarily Gentiles, because the congregation was primarily Gentiles, collected a contribution and they sent it back to Jerusalem to aid the mother church. First mention of elders. There's a lot happened in these verses. The Antioch church was a very important church, and it would grow on to become even stronger. It would become a springboard for people to the world to be established and Christianity to be established throughout the world. Let's have a song of invitation.